Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Hey, we just wanted to really make sure you knew Light Tonight is on Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. If you do not show up, I don't know how many more times we can tell you. Come to Light Tonight, please. No, I'm so glad that you are here. My name is Ryan, and I am so grateful to be with you this morning. We are in this series called Faith on Film, and this week I have the privilege of being able to choose the film that we're going to talk about. And if you know me, this comes as no surprise. But if you don't know me, I'm just going to embrace it and say it and claim it. I'm a nerd. All right. Do with that what you will. I know you are too. I'm just kidding. Being a nerd is good. But the reason why I'm so excited to walk into this film with you today is not because we place a film above God's word. Not because we say like, oh, we need something better than God's word to get to your attention. No, what we say and what we see is that these films are utilizing the roots of the biblical narrative, and we're able to discern with spiritual eyes, oh, that's God's story. Oh, that's what he has to say. Oh, okay, I see how you see how in-depth and rich the narrative of the gospel is. All right. Let's just give it a new angle. Same truth, same word, not changed, just a different piece of paint. And so today, we're going to be walking through a movie called Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Now, there's probably about four groups in this room. The first group is people who are like, I could care less about Star Wars, and I have no idea what you're talking about. Don't worry, I'm gonna help you here in a little bit as best as I can in like 2 minutes, which is insane. It's like trying to share like 50 years worth of something in 2 minutes. We'll try. The second group is someone who has just come into like checking out Star Wars. I know some great people who took like a week and watched all of it recently. And I'm like, wow, that takes a lot of persistence, but good on you. The third group is someone who, you love Star Wars, but I have triggered you because you hate this movie. This is arguably one of the worst movies in your mind in Star Wars history. And then there's a fourth group, which I welcome personally, who loves Star Wars and thinks this is one of the best Star Wars films of all time. And there's a small group of us, and I rock with you. But all are welcome. The reason why I chose this movie is because there is so much depth and richness to the plot and characters and the realness of life. We're going to walk through so many different things, but if I were to sum up what we're going to talk about today, what the heart of this movie gets at, and something I think we all can understand is feeling worthless, but going from worthless to worthy. Every single one of us in this room has had a season, a time, an experience where you felt absolutely worthless, and you might feel worthless right now. I came to tell you today that we have a God who says you were already worthy before that person called you worthless. You are already worthy before that job situation and getting fired made you feel like you have nothing to give. You were already worthy before that struggle that you have in your relationships where you feel like you just never amount to enough. You were already worthy. So today I want to take you from worthless to worthy and recognize that it was already there inside of you. So if you're ready to go with that, that's what we're getting into today. And I'm excited to share with you. Now, for those of you who are like, again, I need you to help me because I have no idea what's going on in Star Wars. Let me try and figure out how to do this in about 2 minutes. So, Star Wars, huge movie, huge experience. The essence of these movies are to say, don't count out people who look like they're insignificant. Don't you dare underestimate people who look like they aren't prestigious enough, that don't have enough status, that don't have enough legacy, that don't have the name that you have, that don't have the wealth that you have or the power that you have. Because guess what's going to happen? God is going to tear down your tablet about Babel, excuse me, and leave you babbling and have another thing come up and rise up within it. It's called a rebellion. And so that is Star Wars. There is a huge legacy that goes throughout it, and I'm keeping it basic. Star Wars fans, I'm not trying to like downplay this. I'm trying to help the people that don't know, all right? So stay with me. So Skywalkers are a huge family. Father is told he's not worthy of being whatever he needs to be already from the jump. He goes down this path that ruins him because he tries to control everything in his life, and he's terrified that if he doesn't control it, it's all going to fall to pieces, and then it does. How many of us in this room have tried to control a situation, finesse it to make it work the way we want it to work, and then it falls apart the exact way we were terrified it would? Self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what happens to Anakin, who is Luke's dad. Terrified he's going to lose everything, and then he does. Except his two kids, Luke and Leia. And if that's a spoiler alert, you've had like 40 or 50 years. Like, you've had a chance, your parents have had a chance, your granddaddy's had a chance. I don't know what to tell you at this point. But Luke is one of his kids, and Luke has this huge legacy that's built because he helps this group of people rise up and defeat a very crippling, unjust empire, enslaving millions of people. And this group of people say, you know what? Human dignity, human value is meant to be valued. We're going to fight against that power. And they do it. So Luke builds this legacy, and then he has a terrifying fact and realization that the same thing that happened to my dad could happen here. And I don't want that to happen. So when we get to this movie, and again, at this point, you've had like 5 years. So if you haven't gotten to it yet, I don't mean to spoil it all, but in some ways, I have to share context. So Ren is Luke's nephew. I know, we got some dots. I feel like I should have a dry erase board. Like, if you've ever seen Sunny in Philadelphia, maybe not. There's just like this board of chaos, but I feel like I should have done that. Oh, well. Ren is Luke's nephew. And Luke tries to train him, and the very thing that Luke was terrified of happens. And Ren falls. How many of us in this room feel the gripping and crippling weight that you have failed the legacy of this huge family legacy, and now you have nowhere else to turn but keep digging down? That's Kylo. He keeps digging down deeper because he's trying to figure out why everything went so wrong, and the only place he can find validity is in the world and in brokenness and darkness. How many of us have been there recently? So in the midst of this, there's this girl named Rey coming out of nowhere. She has no legacy. She has no name. She doesn't even know who her family is. And she feels like when she finds that answer, she will finally find her worth. How many of you in the pews today are still trying to figure out who your real family is and trying to find what your real worth is? Because the real question is, why wasn't I good enough for you to stay? Why wasn't I good enough for you to build a legacy around? Why haven't I still never met you, Dad? Why did I have to be the one to be adopted? And we feel like that root is going to be the thing that validates us. And Ray has been searching and running and crying and wondering, where is my purpose? Who am I? And where is my value? Because I feel like I have none, because everything I hear is some legacy. The Skywalker legacy. Put whatever last name you want to put there. So this is where we're at in this movie in Star Wars. Evil has risen up again. Light to meet it. A balance. And Rey has to decide which side she's going to fall into. And like I said, we can see this throughout the biblical narrative, throughout the Star Wars story, and throughout our story. We all struggle and fight against insignificance. We all struggle and fight against the world perceiving us as insignificant. And throughout the biblical narrative, you can see characters who rise above it who are seen and deemed as insignificant. Think about Samuel came to the house of Jesse and he said, I'm looking for the anointed one. He went through every single son and said, there ain't no way. You still got to have another one, right? The best built in stature. The ones that probably had all of the academic degrees. The ones that probably had the better track record. The one that was seen as best in the town. The one that everybody was wanting their son or daughter to get with and start a family and build the legacy. It's like, where's the anointed one? Deemed insignificant because he was left out to tend the sheep. That man's name was David. Throughout the biblical narrative, people that were deemed as insignificant. Even Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. That's not a town that you're like, oh, he came from there. No, it's like, oh, he came from there. Already fighting against insignificance. But to be reminded throughout the biblical narrative that it's not about us being so significant, but it's about how God created us significant from the jump. You were already significant from the beginning. He said, I knit you in your mother's womb. Before the foundations of the earth, I knew you. What's it like to be known by somebody? If you're insignificant, you feel like no one knows you. You have a God that knows you to the core. And that is the narratives that we see switching and filtering in between. And the thing that I love in that trailer that I wanted to show you, there's multiple moments in it, but one that I love is that Ray says that line, I need someone to help me find my place in all of this. And I know there's someone in these pews today that is feeling the exact same statement. I need someone to help me find my place in all this. Still, 40, 50, 60 years old, I need someone to help me find my place in all this because I still don't feel like I got it figured out. Guess what? You're welcomed here because this is not a place where we come expecting to have all the answers. This is a place where we come and look to the one who does. And he's going to help all of us find our way along the journey. And like we heard in our reading today, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, because we are a church that likes to follow the foundations of the word and not fall on our own words. The biblical parallel between the first order and resistance is the same to us and the same in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, because it talks about how God took the foolish things. God took the weak things. God took the things in the world's eyes, mind you, this. God's not saying that about you. He's saying in the world's lens, they look at you as weak. They look at you without strength. They look at you as foolish. They look at you as someone who doesn't have the pedigree, that doesn't have it all together, who doesn't have the look that you need to have. And God says, I took those things that you deem so worthless, and I show you right now that they are worthy and that they are the things that are going to confound the wise, that they are going to confuse the people that think they have it all together to show how good God is. And so with this first order resistance, empire, rebellion, it's to say, ha, you think you have it all together in dominating everybody. You think you have it all together with your control, your prestige, your money, your dominance. I'm going to use the things you see as so insignificant to overthrow that. That's what we see in that text, and I need someone to hear it today. However many times the world has told you you're worthless, however many times the world has told you you're not strong enough, however many times the world has told you that you're not good enough, however many times the world said you didn't have everything you needed to have to do this, God already says, it's already within you, and I already see it in you. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who we see. And today, as we go into this next clip, I want to show you how the world likes to use manipulation to make you feel absolutely destroyed and then give you just enough of a sample of encouragement to keep you in. We're about to see Kylo, who had just eliminated his his authority figure, everything that was around him, everything that was supposed to like give him value and help give him direction and access to power, he just kills it. And so now he's left with this, what's the next move? Do I continue to dig down or do I finally come up into the light? As we're going to see here, there's a decision that both Kylo and Rey have to make. And they're both trying to figure out how to convince the other one to go a different way. Check this out. Mm-mm-mm. I feel like that's what we call a love bomb. We're going to get into some of the toxicness around that situation in a moment, but I wanted to first address what Kylo speaks over her. Did you notice? He said, you come from nothing. You're nothing. You don't matter in this story. Your parents didn't matter. You place so much value on who they are, and you and your parents are nothing. And you've known that, so why do you keep chasing it? And he tears her down, he degrades her, but then right at the end, he slips in just enough of something to make her feel value again. You're nothing. But you're worth something to me. We hear the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Few of you were fill in the blank in the world's eyes. Fill that blank in for yourself. Few of you were smart enough, equipped enough, beautiful enough, strong enough, able enough, available enough, healthy enough. Whatever that blank was for you, it's the same tone that the world tries to throw at you that Kylo threw at Rey. But how do you look at it through God's eyes? I want to get to the toxic and the healthy in this situation because we are dealing with a classic case of narcissism. Because what Kylo did was the toxic thing, you get torn down, you get manipulated, and then you're given value from where you're already hurt. Did you notice that Kylo tore her completely down, gave her no identity, and then he based her identity upon him? Like, you have no worth here unless you are with me. How many of us in this room have been clinging for years to things and situations and people who have absolutely ripped you apart, but you're hanging on to the two things they've said over the past 5 years, and that's what keeps you there? Because you're like, I just wish they'd be that person again. I wish they'd just be what they were in the beginning. And you keep getting told you're not enough. You keep getting told you're not worth it. And they keep hurting you, but then they'll give you just enough safety and comfort to keep you. How many of us in these pews feel worthless because we know that it's toxic, but we just can't get away? The healthy side of it is from the jump, your value is being recognized for being, not doing. You are already valuable. And this isn't just relationships, this is jobs. Some of us are in jobs that absolutely degrade us and tear us down and give us no value and give us no recognition, not because we need to get our ego stroked, but because we actually need to be valued and seen as a human. And instead of being valued for who we are, just off the rip, just who we are, we've only gotten affirmation after something we've done. And some of us have carried that from childhood because you never got told you were loved unless you did something for somebody. You never got any recognition or value or were seen for anything unless you did something. And so you learned the reward system of I must do to get to be valued instead of I am valued because of who I am already. That's what healthy tells you. you don't have to do anything for me to love you. You don't have to do anything for me to be valued and for you to be valued. That's what God says. You were already valued because I knew you before you were knit in your mother's womb. It's an unconditional love. Welcome to healthy. What does that look like in your life? What does that look like in your culture, in your environment, in your scenarios, to be able to recognize value not only for yourself, but the people around you, to say you are valuable inherently and intrinsically because you are who you are? It's healthy. We've gotten in a society and culture where our reward system is the only way that we get value, and people wonder why they keep chasing validation. It's because we're set up that way. We don't know anything else. But we deserve more. All of us do. And I've seen it in my own family. I've seen value given without being and having done anything. And I appreciate my mom and dad for that. I appreciate that they showed the roots of what it meant to love without having to get. And I want that for you. None of us are perfect. We do the same thing. But we all deserve healthy. So I want you to get this written down, taken a picture of. If you feel like you're in this place where you're like, you know what, I'm stuck, maybe this will set you free. The wrong place will make a minimal upfront deposit and then bankrupt your life. You got an upfront deposit, aka a love bomb. And ever since, they have bankrupted your life and taken everything from you. Your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your love, your gentleness, whatever it might be, they bankrupt your actual account. Like, everything has been taken from you, and you wonder why you're so dry and empty. It's because you've been clinging on to that upfront deposit, thinking that deposit's gonna come back good sometime, and it's already gone. It's time to not let everyone have access to your account anymore. It's time for you to save up some savings. And like I said, we are a church that follows the word. John 10:10, the enemy comes to seek, kill, destroy, and devour, but I came to give abundant life and life to the fullest. That's John 10:10. That is a promise from the Lord your God, who loves you, who doesn't need anything from you to give you abundance. But this world always tells you, you have to give more to get. And you keep chasing, and you are so tired. And your account's constantly in the negative, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And you wonder why. It's because they keep bankrupting you. So I gotta ask, do you believe what God sees in you and how he sees you? Ephesians 2:10, we are the handiwork of God. Do you know you're a masterpiece? Do you know that God sees you and that he sees how you're crafted and he said it was good? If you believe that, if you believe how God sees you, now you can start having a little bit more authority over your account. To say, you know what, you might say this about me, but this is what God says about me. I love what Luke said in that trailer of like, this is not going to go the way you think it is going to go. Sometimes I feel like that's what the enemy tells us too. This is not going to go the way you think it's going to go. Actually, I have a God who's already shown the game plan and he's shown we already win. So I don't have to worry about a victory happening. It's already happened. I don't need to worry or bank on something that is not legitimately already there. My God said he already won. So I'm living in a victory instead of in defeat. You can't take me down with you. Because here's the thing, human strength is all about taking. If we are left to our own vices, we take. We take, we take. It's the garden. We took, we did not give. But God's strength is all about giving. When we live in tuned and in breath with who God is, we give because we have an overflow, not an obligation. You feel obligated to give strength because you've only taken, but you don't know how to give. I've said it like this before. Stop investing in places that have never invested. They don't know how to return their investment. They only take. God's strength is all about giving. When was the last time you had the strength and overflow to give? You're like, I've given everything. I've given it all. I always give. Nobody ever gives back. It might be time to check what wells you're going to. I mean, you keep pouring into a dry well, and you're like, okay, what's, oh, nope, already gone. Okay. It's time to look at new wells. And so in this story, Luke is dealing with this crushing weight of failing. And just like any of us, and this is why I appreciate this story so much, because so often stories just paint this butterflies and rainbows effect of heroes that they never deal with anything and they never go through stuff and they never struggle. But in this Star Wars, they say, you know what? What would it look like for the biggest hero with the biggest weight of the world on his shoulders to crumble because he failed? Just like every single one of us, when we fail, what do? We completely stand strong and keep our head held high and we never like look back. No, a lot of us, we run and we isolate ourselves and cut ourselves off. It's exactly what Luke did. He shut himself off from everybody who needed him. Everybody who was looking for him, who cared about him, who was desperate for him to be present. Some of us run because we feel like we have to have all the answers. The people in our lives are not looking for all the answers. They're just looking for you to be present. That's all. You still have so much to give. I don't know who I'm talking to in this audience, whether you're 60, 70, 80, whether you're 16, 22, whatever it might be, you might feel like you have nothing left to give. You feel like you've failed too much and you've let everybody down and you haven't been able to build the legacy that you thought you'd be able to. And God is saying, you were not just one-dimensionally that one person for that one thing in that one season with that one mistake and that one failure and that one mess up. You are fully someone that I've created. You are not the product of just your failures. You're also a product of the good things he's done through you. And you still have much to give to this world, and it's the same thing for Luke, for him to recognize that he still had much to give and people still needed him. And if you're in that season and you feel like, you know what, I've given all I can, I'm past the seasons, I'm in this length of life now where I just don't really feel like I have much to offer, I want to offer this verse. Because the best place to go for validation and affirmation is his word. And what it says is Philippians 1:6, and I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So the work isn't done yet. The work will continue until the day Christ Jesus returns. That means wherever you're at, you think you've clocked out on life and you feel like you are done and you don't have anything left to give, the work is still going. The work is continuing. Are you ready to dig in? Are you ready to keep looking? Because maybe it's not the same job. We look at the things that we've given to in life and we said, well, this is all that I have and this is all I've done and this is all I know. What if God is saying, I'm a limitless God and I'm about to show you a new way that you're supposed to invest, a new way that you're supposed to grow, a new way that you're supposed to work, a new way that you're supposed to give, a new way that you're supposed to lean in? What if this season is something completely new? Stop limiting yourself to what you know and give yourself to the one who does know. Philippians 1:6, let that be your anthem. And so this final clip, as we go into this part of the story, Luke has a moment with his sister and they talk about the regret of not being able to save Kylo. She's like, I know my son is gone. And Luke says something so powerful. He says, no one's ever really gone. Mom, dad, no one's ever really gone. You might feel disappointed. You might feel like you gave all you could to your kids and they still have turned out a certain way with their choices and what they've chosen to do. And you feel like, I thought I gave everything and I don't know why it's going this way. Can I offer you some grace and relief this morning that people still have to make their choices and that is not all up to you? Luke tried to hold on and control everything and everything fell apart. Maybe mom and dad, it's time to let go and trust God to be the one to heal. Trust God to be the one to redeem and restore. I want to show you this clip. There's so many different dynamics to it. couple things we'll talk about, and we'll keep going. Check it out. All right, there's a lot to dig into really quick. I had to clip some stuff together because I feel like there's so much in this movie that I want to show you, but I just can't. But the first thing I want to say is you can't heal someone who doesn't want to be. You hear Kylo? I'm sure you are sorry. I'm sure that pain. And I want to say this too. One, Luke offered what he could. I messed up. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do to redeem that, restore that. You're going to have to heal on your own with that. And he had to let that go and let it be. And some of you need to hear that. Some of you are Kylo too. You're bitter. You're burned out, you're angry, and you feel like everybody's hurt you. And you feel like accepting an apology is somehow surrendering to your pain and your emotions. Can I just encourage you that maybe accepting the apology is not to deny all your feelings and what you've been through, but just to release you from still holding that? That it still hurts, that it's still painful, that it's okay, that it's not okay. But maybe it's time for you to accept the apology and start healing for yourself. You can't heal someone who doesn't want to be. Now, the other part that I loved, and something that probably should have happened in Love is Blind with Ramses, was shut the door. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and a lot of you don't. But what I'm saying here is that as we've looked through this classic case of narcissism, some of you have kept a door open that you saw in that last clip. You see Rey at the door, and she's about to press a button, and she looks at Ren because they've started connecting and talking about the things they've gone through, the things that are hurting them. They've created a bond and connection, and Rey has that moment to choose. Do I continue to let that have access to me, or do I shut the door? And I don't know who it is in this room right now, but you kept the door open last night. You stayed available, and you know you shouldn't have shut, and you know you should have shut the door, but you didn't. And now this morning, God is coming to you at the door and said, "Yeah, I saw him walk out. Why didn't you shut the door?" It's time to shut the door. Because here's the thing, let's just talk about it, and we gotta be real in this room. Some of us like keeping the door open because we like to be the savior in people's lives. You like having your savior complex. You like being the one feeling like you're saving them and changing them and making them feel like they are gonna maybe come around. You want that feeling because, again, it goes back to you feeling like you're worth something and it's messed up. You needed someone to say it to you bluntly today. It's messed up. You can't save that person. Only God can. It's time for you to shut the door. I need you to shut the door. Whoever that is in your life, whatever it is in your life, it could be a situation, it could be a job, it could be an opportunity, it could be whatever it is, shut the door. Because Ray chose freedom. She chose not to continue to have that be a part of her legacy and her walk. She said, "I'm going to move forward." You need to too. Because on the flip side of this, we weren't meant to just hear we matter. We were meant to remind others they do too. So those people that God actually called you to remind that they matter in your life, those people, not the people that you forced, quote unquote, into God's hands and said, "Well, I just need to be there for them." No, you don't. They become dependent upon your soul and your strength and your energy, and so they cling like a leech to that, and they survive off of your soul, not their own. It's time for you to pour into the people and give the deposit to the people who actually need it, not the people that you just want to have it. We need to remind others that they matter too. So I want to take a second, actually. For some of you, this is going to be really awkward, but for some of you, it's going to be really freeing. And for some of you, you're sitting by your crush and you're like, "Finally." Don't look at him right now. You're about to give yourself away. I want you to turn to the people around you, and I want to take the next 30 seconds. And I want you to tell the people and look them in the eye and tell them you matter. You matter. I want you to do that right now. Look, the people you haven't talked to yet, I want you to look at everybody. I want you to turn around. I want you to look to the right, to the left, in front of you, behind you. I want you to tell them that you matter. That you matter. Do you matter? You really do. You matter. You matter. You really matter. Jerry, you matter. You matter. You matter because it's not something you had to do, it's who you are. And we need to be reminded of that in a world where we feel like we're just not enough. So I want to give you these verses, 1 John 3:18 through 20. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God, even if we feel guilty. Hear this right now. God is greater than our feelings. God is greater than your feelings. And he knows everything. Well, I'm feeling a type of way. Guess what? He's greater than your feelings. Well, I don't feel like I'm good enough. Well, I don't feel like I'm pretty enough. I don't feel like I'm worth it enough. I don't feel like I'm giving enough attention. I don't feel like I'm giving enough value. I don't feel like I can give anything to this world. I don't feel like this. And God said, guess what? I'm greater than what you're feeling right now. Because your feelings, they matter. Your feelings matter. But they are not God. I want to give you this too as your declaration and anthem. All nations will come to see your light. Hope Elam, what would it look like for all nations to come and see this lighthouse 24/7? Because they see a light shining so brightly in Des Moines. They see people encouraging one another and loving each other and reminding them that they matter not based upon their status societally or financially or power-wise, but that we are all seen as intrinsically, equitably, equally value, no matter where we are and who we are. Well, come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Mom, dad, your sons are coming. They're coming home. Mom, dad, your daughters will be carried home. You may have given up. God's got your children. God's got your daughter. God's got your son. He's got you. They're coming home. Cling to that promise. Your eyes will shine. When was the last time your eyes shined? Not pain, not hiding doubt, not hiding everything that you felt. When was the last time your eyes actually glowed? Because you knew you were loved. You knew you were seen. You knew that you were understood. You knew that you were valued. Your eyes. When was the last time someone said your eyes are glowing? It's a promise for you. And your heart will thrill with joy. The last thing I have for you, Hope Elam, the rebellion is reborn. I love what Luke said. He said, a rebellion is reborn today. The war is just beginning. And he said, and I will not be the last Jedi. But for us, and we will not be the last follower of Jesus. There is a kingdom rebellion. A kingdom rebellion that looks like raising equitable status for those who have been given inequality and inequity. It's a kingdom rebellion that says that we have a God of justice. So when unjust things happen, he looks at those situations and says, you know what? No, we're going to flip the script. And instead of injustice continuing, we are going to have a kingdom rebellion of people who stand up and say, that's not right. A kingdom rebellion that loves unconditionally. A kingdom rebellion that commits to what God has called us to. A kingdom rebellion that raises a new generation of students and youth and children that are on fire for God. A generation that's not lost in the fold because they're getting older, but they're actually leaning in further than they ever have. A kingdom rebellion that flips everything upside down, where the government is actually coming to the church for answers and looking to God for answers instead of just another policy, instead of just another person that's lying to you and telling you, oh, I'm going to do this and do that. Well, my God has already promised and his promises have never failed. What would it look like for a kingdom rebellion to change a city, to change a neighborhood, to change a state? A nation, a country, a world. What does it look like to have a kingdom rebellion in your home? I'm not going to lose my temper on my kids again today. I'm going to choose to commit today. I'm going to choose to raise a new generation with presence, not perfect answers. I'm going to love the way I need to love. I'm going to forgive the way I need to forgive. I'm going to ask for forgiveness the way I need to let my pride down, and I need to let go of my ego and ask the people in my life and in my household to forgive me for the ways that I've messed up. That's a kingdom rebellion. It starts right here and right now. And a kingdom rebellion is continuing because today we are going to celebrate welcoming another person into the kingdom of God with a baptism. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Brian Brown to come up and lead us in this celebration.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.